The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 19th of November, 2019. On the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about the following companies: Armadale Capital, ACP, Destiny's Pharma, Dest, LPA Group, that's LPA, and Nicola Duke looks at charts of the following: Bitcoin, having a bit of a sell-off of late, SafeStay, SSTY, and Tissue Regenix, TRX, a well-followed company of late. And talking about well-followed companies, don't forget, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. So the most followed list is basically a list of companies people are either investing into or researching, but they're hot stocks. So it's worth keeping a regular check on that list. Okay, you can see top 10 at voxmarkets.co.uk. Also, the top five most liked RNSs. If you do receive an RNS via the app, the Vox Markets app, free to download at the app store there, and you like the contest at RNS, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button, and it may feature on this podcast and also at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
Good morning from a chilly and frosty Seaford, Jess. I'm fine, thanks. And sitting in my nice warm office with the heating on, looking out the window, seeing the frost gleaming on top of the car.
Yeah, well, I've got a sort of converted office just in the garden, basically. It's the back end of a garage, but back half. And I've got some just oil heaters in there, you know. And normally, generally, I don't have to put them on most of the year, but I put one on during the winter. But I got a big one and a smaller one, and today I've got the two on, and it's not getting hot here. You know, so sometimes I turn them off because it's too hot, but it's not getting hot. It's literally. Yeah. Right, Al, I'm going to tap you up for a tenner here, or anything more if you can afford it. But do you know what? I put on this little charity, right, and it's amazing. It's called Maddie's Butterflies, Children Cancer Charity, Caravan Appeal. Basically, this caravan in Lancashire, and it's, one of the worst things in the world to have is a child, isn't it, with cancer. You think, they haven't started their life off yet and they've got cancer, My son had a lung issue, but we were on the ward for, he spent a bit of time, about 3 weeks, a couple of years back now. He used to go in and out of hospital. And next to us was a little kid. And literally, it was, I think the child was literally two and was basically dying of cancer. And I think, what is worse than that? Them starting life. So the way they're doing here, they've got this little caravan, and for children, for parents with children of cancer, they can take them away to this caravan. It's in a caravan park for 1 week a year, free of charge. And the fees on this caravan are £6,500 a year. At the moment, I think they have to give about 1,500 quid to that in by the end of this month. And at the moment, they're on 732 quid. And I thought, put it on Twitter, and quite a few people came forward and gave a tenner. But it's hard work, and I'm just saying, it's a tenner to people. Come on, I said on my Twitter, if 10% of my followers could give 10 quid, we'd have done it. But it's hard work to get people donating. But if you're listening to this, and like yourself, have you got a spare tenner? What's a tenner to us? You can go out, have a drink, a couple of drinks, and a tenner's gone. But to those,
exactly,
that charity,
it's nothing,
means a lot.
Nothing to all. Well, I think collectively, between our followers, if you guys can just take a look at the link that we'll put up on the podcast later on, and just go to it and donate a tenner or donate whatever you can. I totally agree, Jess. My daughter some years ago, she fell over and banged her head very badly and was concussed, and we took her to the Royal Alexander Children's Hospital in Brighton. And it was heartbreaking. You know, there's a sweet little girl there in the bed next to my daughter, and she had a terminal condition as well. And it was heartbreaking. And you cannot imagine it and what the parents go through. And anything that can brighten that child's life up, you know, over the period of time they have is worth its weight in gold. So, yeah, it's... Let's just do, you know, if everyone puts a tenner in, then that caravan is going to be funded and lots of children are going to have smiling, happy faces. So let's do it.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to stocks. It almost seems quite trivial now, but stocks. Al, what are you looking at the moment?
Okay, well, somebody on Twitter over the weekend just flagged up Armadale Capital, which struck a chord with me, because at a share talk event back at the end of September, I was there with Craig Brown from ECR and several others, and Zach and a few others, and Paul Johnson was there presenting the case for Armadale, and I kind of listened. And you know, Paul's you know, he's a pretty direct guy, and you know, what you see is what you get, pretty well. And I was just struck by his quiet confidence in the project, and also the quality of the offering. So I'm just going to give a brief overview here. The Armadale Capital ACP got a market cap now of 11 million. Shares are trading at 2.8p, been as high as 3.1p, as low as just under a penny. But it's invested into the Mahenge Liandu graphite project in Tanzania, which, as we'll know from many mining companies operating in the region, it's a benign, stable environment for mining companies and mine operators. The Mahenge Liandu graphite project is also sited close to Black Rock and Kibaran projects, which are neighbours, effectively. And those projects are producing top tier graphite, large graphite flakes, and the percentage, the data that's come back thus far from Mahenge basically indicates that the graphite quality, the quality of the ore and the quality of the flakes are right up there with these two. So that straight away puts a decent valuation on it. Clearly, there's huge demand for graphite in the EV world that we now live in. The demand for graphite as a key constituent of batteries and electrical appliances is well documented. Just a bit more data about the Mahenge Liandu mine. It's about 180 miles from Dar es Salaam port by rail. There's mains power close by. Most of the heavy lifting has already been done. We're getting close to permitting, mining license, and the data that has already emerged from the project indicates a pre-tax IRR, that's rate of return, of 122%, with a net present value of $350 million, which is pretty impressive. So the company is valued at $11 million at present. The other attractive element of the Mahenge Liandu project is that CapEx and OpEx are basically lower than its peers, basically due to the higher ore grade, and also due to the due to the collective factors, that is the geographic location, the cost of labour, and the other factors. The project's advancing and expects to complete the DFS in quarter four this year. It already has takeoff agreements from Datong in China and Kulai UIT in China. That's memorandums of understanding, I should say, not takeoff agreements. And the company is well funded, placing earlier this year, raised $500,000, and also the company announced a convertible loan note a month or so ago to go alongside this. Very good team. As I've already mentioned, Paul Johnson, obviously ABM and MTR and other companies. He's well known. Steve Hale Mahedi, he's a qualified mining engineer with 35 years experience, and he's been a chief executive of mining companies Australia and Africa. Matt Bull, the technical director, has a lot of experience with graphite projects, working with major mining groups such as Rio, Golden West, Vault, and so on. And also Jenny Lee has been appointed to the board. She's the procurement officer working with China to set up the takeoff agreement. So basically, the project is very complete. It's coming together, and you know, Paul just presented this the investment case and was just very excited about it, given where the valuation was. And I think the shares at the time that he gave the presentation were about 2.2p. So we're at 2.8p now, so not too far off. Either way, I think, you know, as this advances, it's going to reach a value inflection point, which I also indicated in my tweet at the weekend. And I think, you know, Paul indicated as much in the presentation. So yeah, clearly so the downside is it's an early stage mining project, but graphite is in huge demand. The quality of the graphite is well established. So it is approaching or is already at a very exciting inflection point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I wrote about them over a year ago. Before I got to bearish on resource stocks, I held some, and I think my last blog post on them was like another three reasons to add Armadale Capital as you watch this was in October the 1st, actually last year. So in fact, that was right that's when I started selling off all my resource stocks then. So that must be my last. But I mean, you know, of course, there's upside there. Just for me, for my strategy, doesn't fit it now at the moment. I'm just not, you know, I'm not that bit bullish at the moment. I mean, resource stocks have been hammered down, so I think they have a bounce. But I do think all of a sudden, if you notice how we've gone from being, you know, we're going to have a recession next year to it's not going to happen now.
No one knows.
And the one thing, if we have downturns, and as you know, there's still a lot of money sitting on the sidelines, you know, investment, hedge funds, all that. There was a percentage I saw, but there's a lot of money just sitting there, not doing anything. It could pile in. It may not. They may even add to their cash if sentiment and global growth gets worse. So no one really knows. But I know the first things to be hit in a downturn, of course, are resource stocks, oil and gas stocks, anything that's aligned to growth, you know, will be hit. Yeah. So that's why, and I think, you know, it's good. I mean, what I would say with any resource or oil and gas stock, if you're looking at it, make sure it has enough funding to get you through at least 6 months.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Very much so. You know, that's very important. And actually, the point you raised just now, that was a point Paul also raised, you know, that small cap mining stocks have really struggled. And it's been a fairly torrid time for many companies over the past few years. But at some point, the worm will turn. And I think at that point, the companies that have their ducks in a row are going to benefit. And, you know, we could see substantial exponential gains. Clearly, you know, massive risk with all of this, as we know. But you know, those that are experienced and have looked at mining projects around the world to invest into should take a close look at ACP. I think there's a lot on offer here, and I think it's always exciting, you know, when a project like this, you know, you've got a company that's worth 5 or 10 million, suddenly reaches that inflection point, and then boom, you know, we could then move on to maybe, I don't know, a 50 to 70 million valuation. Once the DFS is finalised and permits come in, and then you move from exploration into production, and it's a whole different ballgame. But clearly, you know, that's just me speculating. It may not happen this month. It may not happen. You know, but you know.
Well, no, I wrote about it because the figures are very good. You know, and the NPV is very good and all that stuff. And no one believed it. I mean, the only question I had was Tanzania. There's, you know, there's been some questionable governance there, you know, over the past few years. And
I think there has, but I think that's Africa in general, isn't it? But it's certainly one of the more benign, if not the most benign, pro-mining.
Well, I don't know. There's been issues with Tanzania, quite bad, you know, not good issues. What did they do a while back? I mean, there's quite a thing. Mining, because when I invested in them, there was problems with mining licenses then. They'd reviewed did a whole review of the mining board, and it was all problems then. So it was like they didn't know whether it was going ahead, or and everyone was in limbo. They thought, oh, this is not good. So there is, you know, Tanzania, look into it. Jurisdiction is always very important. But having said that, I want to say the figures are very good on this DFS is amazing figures. The product's good. And so, and of course, there's demand for graphite. You know, what I wrote about them originally, didn't realise that, you know, people with graphite is overlooked a bit. And everyone goes for, like, lithium or cobalt and all that. And graphite, yeah, is as in demand, but overlooked a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And also, it's probably got a broader range of applications too than lithium.
Pencils.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, it's pencils.
So what am I looking for? When the worm turns out, I'm looking for a company with ducks in a row, yeah?
That's right. Worms and ducks,
pretty much.
Yeah, worms and ducks, that's it, mate. Yeah, that's
all right,
it, yeah.
Cool. Anything else you're looking at?
Yeah, a couple of others for you. Want to talk about Destiny Pharma, based in Brighton at the Sussex Innovation Centre, where, of course, we are. Destiny Pharma, they have they're a pharmaceutical company, as the name would imply. They've developed the XF series of light-activated antibacterial drugs that combat superbugs in hospitals, such as MRSA and so on. So the company's jumped through a number of hoops, floated a couple of years ago, and as we stand at present, the company announced has made a number of announcements since the summer. At its interims, it said it was fully funded through to 2021, had 9 million cash in the bank, and also it was undertaking a nasal gel trial with 200 patients in the US and Europe, and it's already got some initial data from that, which encouragingly was published in the US National Institute of Health journal, and basically it just said that at the initial stages of the trial, the nasal gel was well received, seemed to be working well. The formal outcome of the study is due mid-2020, so that's all the headline data. In the meantime, the company, the CEO, is presented at the World Antimicrobial Resistance Conference in Washington, and they are presenting today, that is Tuesday, at the Jefferies Investable Showcase in London. So if anyone's booked in for that, then the Destiny Pharma, I think, are making key steps forward. So they're fully funded. There's a huge market for this. Clearly, there's a massive problem with superbugs. They also received a grant earlier this year from under the China Antimicrobial Resistance Program for $1.6 million. They have collaborations with universities up and down the country, and they're progressing this. Clearly, as with all farmers, it's very much a work in progress. But you know, once they crack this, it's a huge market, and the XF73. The XF73 treatment will be hugely in demand. So, yeah, more to come from Destiny Pharma.
Marvellous. What's the ticket there? DEST, is it?
DEST, yeah. DEST is the epicode, yeah. I should say, currently trading, has an 18.5 million market cap, trading at 42p today, been as high as 85p on the year, as low as 34p. So, you know, just off your lows, really. So, a good time to come in.
Well, you know, because it's off the year lows doesn't mean a good time to come in now. You know, those lows not set in stone, they can go lower.
They can, yes. Shares can go down as well as down. We know this. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, anything else?
This is a company we spoke about a year ago, and I've kind of tried it. It's not had a good year, but it could be along with another number of other companies, but a number of other companies we've spoken about have had very good years, just so you know, it all balances out. So this is a company called LPA Group. Stop laughing.
It all brings the average down. What is it? LPA.
LPA Group. LPA is the epic code. Now, this is a company that is based in Saffron Walden in Suffolk, and it manufactures a number of products in the electromechanical arena. It also manufactures LED lighting, electric accessories. It works with rail, aerospace, and defense industries, and partners with companies such as Airbus, Augusta, BAE Systems, Bombardier, SNCF, Stagecoach, and so on. The company's issued a number of updates during quarter three. Currently trading with a market cap of 10 million, been as high as 114 pence on the year, lower 74 pence, currently trading at 82p, also offers a dividend yield of 3.5%. So the company provided a trading update in September and said it had 4 million contract wins under its belt. It had won a contract to supply railway rolling stock electromechanical boxes, and also it had won its first export order for LED lighting for trams, presumably in some European cities. So it was the first for the company. The company also said that contract delays had meant that a lot of the revenues that the company had forecast would now come to fruition and kick in the current year, which started in October the 1st. And the chairman, Peter Pollock, actually said in his comments that he was very confident in the new year. During the period where the contracts had been delayed, they had undergone cost restructures, and currently they had an order book of 15.5 million versus an order book of 8.5 million last year. And also they'd reduced the gearing to 22% from 31%. The dividend, interestingly, had been maintained, 1.1p. So given that the shares have come off and they're trading at this level, if the company is at this turnaround juncture, which the chairman implied, then it could be a good point to pick them up. And obviously, if you can pick up a bunch at this level and the shares rise, then your yield effectively multiplies with it. So, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, cause they're making a loss, aren't they? So I don't understand why they're paying a dividend, really. Just,
Yeah, well, there was a loss before tax of 0.2 million versus a profit of just under a million last year. So, clearly that was the chairman explained that that was due to contracts being delayed and pushed on into the current year. So, if the order's delayed from June to October, then clearly the order's still there, but it just means it's fallen into a different year. But in the meantime, the order flow is good. There's an order book of 15.5 million, which is key, versus 8.5 million this time last year. So that to me is that looks pretty good. So clearly there's risk in this, but they're in an interesting niche segment, and it pays a dividend yield too. So
That's the chairman, Peter Pollock, is it? That's obviously not talking talking.
That's right.
Anyway, do your own rhyming slang for that. Marvellous. Cheers for Alistair's LPA. Yeah, but, decent revenue for Eagles market cap. So
yeah. It is. I was going to say it's very there's versus the market cap and revenue. I mean, it's basically trading on 1x revenue, where you've got a market cap of 10 million, less than that, because the interim revenues were 10 million. So that's
it did generate cash in the cash flow statement. So 159,000 for 6 months ended 30th of March. Marvellous stuff. Cheers for Al, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me right now is the Royal Lady of the Charts. I don't want to call you anymore. I don't want to call you the Crypto Queen, like I said, because
don't call me Royal.
Do you know what? Did you see that? Did you see that interview? And do I even find the most ridiculous thing of all, first and foremost? Just the title of Prince. I just find that really ridiculous. And his Royal Highness at the start and all that stuff. What a load of fantastical nonsense.
He's just a member of the Lucky Sperm Club.
He's a human being. He's done wrong. Full stop. Yeah, he was born into a family that have, a lot of privilege, and he was lucky to be there. So basically, he has to keep his head down and do something that's, that helps society. And what he's done, he's taken advantage, really has. And he's been with someone he shouldn't have been with. Yeah, he didn't apologise, but just find the word prince. It's like something in a Disney film. It's not real. It's pathetic. I'd find that I think the Queen has done well. She's kept her head low, and she's performed her royal duties with respect and dignity. But I mean, I just find the whole concept just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think this is all to do with his ex-wife. Because at the time, in 2011, 2010, we were told that he went, he was still friends with Epstein because Epstein paid all his wife's debts off. So, obviously nobody wants to drag that up again. So we've got this awful cringe-making you know, I can explain. No, you can't.
He was obviously lying. It was so obvious.
It was so painful, the fake eye rolls.
The thing is, whenever you go to ask, whenever you do a documentary roles or anything, you're highly vetted. Every question you ask is highly vetted. So they know the answer. They know what they're going to say. He said he's been over it in his head thousands of times. And yet he had fake shocked some of the questions. Like, he didn't realise, really? We've heard all this before. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I know. It was pathetic. And you feel like saying, you know what? If he said, you know, I was completely wrong. Why don't you just apologise? I shouldn't have been friends with the guy. I was partying. I was like, I was on it like a crazy loon. And, you know, I enjoyed that sort of crazy scene. But he can't, obviously can't say that. Downfall. Thing is now, he's in limbo, really, isn't he? All the companies are leaving him. You know, the KPMG and all that, they're all leaving him. So, what he should be doing is helping the public. He can't do that anymore because no one wants to associate with him. All he can do is go to America, pretty much, and get done. or he just drops out of society completely, and no one sees him again. You know, what can you do? So
I think the palace are pretty powerful. There's no way they're going to let him go to America and get questioned by the FBI. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I saw George Galloway yesterday suggesting on Twitter that maybe Epstein. It wasn't suicide. And, you know, they're a very powerful family, the royal family. Here we are. Cool. Anyway, let's go on to, more relevant things to the normal people. And that's share prices and charts. First of all, I want to look at Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin, about 2 weeks back, I started scaling out. I just didn't like it. I thought, we're in a bearish trend here. We're going down. I don't like this. It was, the 200-day moving average was catching up and all that stuff, but it was lagging behind. And now we've got the chart of Deja. So it all seems to be rolling over a little bit. So yesterday, early morning yesterday, I texted a mate of mine. I also, on Twitter, another guy who knows Bitcoin. I said, listen, I've just sold all my Bitcoin. I said, at the moment, I feel we're going into a downtrend. I don't know where it's going to stop. I'm going to wait until it's back into a forming, at least a base, all uptrend. I'm going to wait.
Very, very good plan.
Yeah, because at the moment, I don't know where it's going to go. You know, some people say 8,000. Do you know what? If you go on a weekly chart and look at the 200 week
the
average,
weekly, the weekly is not as convincing as the daily chart. You know, if we look at a daily chart, we've had this really, really strong rally at the end of October, and this choppy overlapping price action looks like a correction before we do another leg higher. But on the weekly chart, because it all happened so quickly, I agree that does look less convincing. You know, but on all of these charts, all of these moving averages are all lined up bullish. These points to pullbacks, it's just how low are they going to go before we turn up higher again. So I think it's a really, really good plan to wait for that base.
Agree. I've drawn a couple of lines on there. Where do you see support at here? Because
I actually do think that between sort of 7,800 and 8,000, so a little bit lower, like a few hundred dollars below where we are now, should be some support. And each time it's hit every other one of these levels, it's had a little bounce, but that's not that means it's going to stop going down. Then we'll see if we can make a base and launch from here. So it's not, you know, a buy it blind and you know, hold on forever, you know. But I do think that there is a good chance, that we will find support around 7,800, 8,000.
Mm-hmm. Look at the weekly, right, and look at the 200-week moving average. When there's a massive rally, it pulls away from that. It comes back to that, and I'm thinking that is around about 5,000. That's an extreme case, I think. But
It is an extreme case.
The chart goes up and it comes back. It has to come back and form a nice base. I mean, to me, it needs to come round and form that solid base to build off again, you know, and it's not near there yet. We don't know where that is. It's curved down nicely, you know. It's been very erratic of late, isn't it? You know, up and down, and even that 40-day or 40% moving when it jumped up a couple of weekends back. I just bought below that, and so I was in that sort of big rally over the weekend. But even that, you know, it went up to the top of a channel and it still came back down. It's like you said, nothing happens in a V, does it, like that? You'd have to come in a nice curve shape, you know.
No, but while we're on this weekly chart, take a look at what an important pivot point January is. December, January 2017, we were at $800, and a year later, we ended the year at $20,000. And then the low in December 2018 was in December you know, the week before Christmas. So, you know, December, January is a big turning point for this this market, like crypto and Bitcoin. It does tend to be, you know, in 2015 we saw the low in January, in and so I think, you know, I'm still optimistic that the big rally that we had from the end of December last year, a year ago, the big year-long rally that ended in June, we are just retracing it, and then we are about to start another leg higher. Yeah. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I just want to see that bow they had, like you said, from that December last year, so through from 2019. It was a nice bow, in fact. If you look at it formed that nice base.
It
built on that. And then and all of a sudden, that one day, when was it? On the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, it went through the 200-day moving average very convincingly, a massive move. And you're like, wow, that is the start of a big uptrend then. But at the moment, it's very jagged and very aggressive pullbacks and rallies and pull. And sometimes
they're trying to trigger momentum, aren't they? Either direction, and they're just false moves.
Yeah, I agree. Isn't it always sometimes though? Bear markets are more aggressive rallies in bear markets than you do in bull markets. So
you absolutely do, particularly in shares. Yeah.
Yeah. So the one thing is, I think at the moment it just needs to calm down and settle down and form that base. And it, you know, to me, it's just too erratic. You know, and, it doesn't. I know Bitcoin is erratic, but it hasn't stayed. I was talking to someone else and say, if you look, even on those days where it's relatively flat for quite a few trading sessions, it doesn't spend any longer than 15 sessions without making a move up or down. So it's like really big moves. You think, wow,
yeah,
it's odd the trading that goes on there. Okay, marvelous. The Bitcoin, so you reckon there's still chance?
I reckon around this 8,000 level, there is a really good chance. We'll see what we do here. Let's see. If we can find a base and turn up.
And I like that level anyway, because, you know, even if it goes to the, you know, previous high, you could have doubled your money if you put it at 8,000. You know, there's a nice double there. Cool. Okay. So I think
above 8,600 in that last swing high, then we've got a trend reversal and we can get excited. But
Okay. All right. Next, I'll give you two charts there. What did I say to you? One was SafeStay, wasn't it? Yeah.
SafeStay and TRX. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. SafeStay, what do you reckon? Is that a nice little rally? It's, in fact, an aggressive rally. But
it's
for a long time.
Into orbit.
Yeah. It was annoying, really, because I've held this company for a while, and it's been frustrating holding it, because they were undervalued. They're rolling out hostels across Europe, and so they've got 18 now, and every month or so they announce a new acquisition. I thought sooner, and they're cash generative. They've got a cash pile there. Very good. You know, management who owns Skin in the Game, done it all before. In fact, the guy behind it launched Safe Store, you know, the storage place, he's behind that. So, so he's behind Safe Store. It didn't move for ages, just moving alongside, and all of a sudden it's moved now, which I'm glad, but it's moved too aggressively. And I think, oh, again, it's one of those things that's going to have a pullback because it's moved very aggressively, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, I know. I actually think it's a bit annoying. If we look at the high we made in March, the RSI got to 93. If we look at the high we made in June, the peak high there, the RSI was 95. We're already at 87 on this RSI. We're not even close to those levels yet. So I think actually we've got a bit of room. My first target would be 41. And that's just based on measuring the legs and is a previous peak, you know, support and resistance, basically, 40, 41. So I think we've got a little bit of room to squeeze higher. The problem is it's so far gone, you can't buy it here. You really do need a bit of a pullback, probably to around 36. I think if we can come back and find support at 36, that's a pretty good support and resistance pivot level. It was a gap before previous highs and lows. So I would look for a pullback to 36 to buy it if I was looking for it to go higher. 41, around 40, 41, as I said, is resistance. Then we complete the double top at 49. But then really, you know, if this takes out that 50, 49, 50 level, we should be looking to 60, 61 for a target.
Yeah. What I like with this business, every time they acquire a hostel, it's basically adding £1 million to the top line in revenue. and they're cash generative. So, and their target is to get to 20 hostels by summer next year. But they're ahead of that schedule now. And then on to 40, and they've got enough cash to start acquiring them without going back to the market. So, So it's the business is improving all the time. Marvelous stuff. Okay, and a very popular share of late is Tissue Regenics. It's had a big rally. And they came back, but. There are people talking about this. It's quite a popular hot stock. What do you reckon, Nicola?
Yeah, I actually had 0.45 to 0.55 as a massive support zone. And if we look at where we bounced last week, that's where we found some support. Now, I'm not ruling out that level being retested, but it was a massive FIV zone. And so I think that if it holds up on a retest, if we make a double bottom or we grind out a bit of a base here, or even a higher low and then continue to rally and we get above 150, that would be a sign, you know, into that gap where we dropped after the nasty last drop, that would be a sign of a reversal. But I think that there is a really good, really, really good shot. The RSI supports it. Like everything is, can you believe the RSI got down to 0.2 or something? You know, really, really oversold. So we're due a decent bounce. Big picture, if this really does decide to recover, then I would see, you know, the previous lows that we had in 2017 and the beginning of this year would be our first resistance. They're around 5.5. But my big target would be 8.2 if we can make a bottom and turn this around.
Wow.
I know that's a long way, It does look like we are at a level where we should have completed, you know, a bit of a sequence. So
yeah, do you know what? I was surprised, right, looking at the chart, that it hadn't rallied more than this, because this has been talked about a lot on social media. And it's been followed a lot on Vox. And I thought, and normally when you get a company followed that much, it's done several 100%, but it hasn't. I was surprised it hadn't rallied more, but I was quite disappointed with the chart there. But there we are. TRX, haven't really researched it, so I don't know what's going on there. But marvellous stuff, Nicola. Do you trade Bitcoin or do you just hold?
No, I trade Bitcoin. So, but I'm not completely out of Bitcoin, and just because I really do think that there's a great shot of a base here. Now, any lower than sort of 7,800, and I'll be out of the rest of it and wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a small position, and then I'll add to it, you know, if we can find a base. But at the moment, I cut most of mine because it just wasn't holding that support that it should have done. So
it's uncertain, isn't it, where it's going?
Very uncertain.
Yeah, unless you're like a recommitted hodnose, you know, literally blind faith, I think it is, you know, it's pretty wise to just easy to scale down a bit, scale out a bit, you know.
There are some people, you know, I know some people who blind faith held it all the way down from that 20,000 high and said never again, because it's painful. It is painful.
Exactly.
It scars you and then you don't want to trade anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That. I mean, even I was quite lucky. I mean, literally yesterday I was, the morning, I just thought, it's looking weak. The RSI is down. I thought, I'm just going to get out to you. There's a level here if it goes below. And literally it did. It dropped like 4% in the evening or something. And I thought,
wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. So I thought, I didn't expect that to happen straight away, but I just timed that quite well. But there's been plenty of times I haven't timed it well. But that was a lucky call. Marvellous, Nick. Thanks for that. And speak to you next week.
I will send you some charts. Okay, bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Expediator. At 4, Way Education. At 3, SafeStay. At 2, Two Shields Investments. And number 1 most followed company is Strategic Minerals, SML. It's a surprise in there. It hasn't been there for a while, but it's there. Is it rising there? No, it's down 4.17% to 0.575. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs are as follows. At 5, Ariana Resources, Arzu North drilling results. At 4, Arc Minerals, option to sell, Sturek. At 3, Fast Forward Innovations, Lorn Abani, appointed as chairman of EMAC. Whatever that means. At 2, Rehobal Resources, Directors Dealings. And number 1 most liked RNS came from Cora Gold, commencement of drilling at Sanankuru. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.